morning. Welcome to Calvary. Let's all stand together.
Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. I'm alive because I'm alive in you. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive.
Let's get around and walk with each other this morning.
Thanks for coming to Calvary Baptist Church. Jesus said that if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed.
Amen.
He wants true freedom for you, and you can find it in Him no matter what might be holding you captive. So we're so glad that you're here with us together to worship the one who is our deliverer. If you are involved in the Christmas play, there is a meeting after church. Following that, there is a leadership meeting. Our Thanksgiving service and pie fellowship is Tuesday at 7 p.m. The sign-up sheet for to bring a pie is in the foyer. Our guest speaker will be Pastor Marvin from Mount Ararat Baptist Church in Cardell, Pennsylvania. So we hope you'll come out for that on Tuesday. The bus monitor training is next Sunday following the service. This is for anyone interested or willing to ride on the bus with the kids to and from church services to make their experience fun and memorable and to help prepare their hearts for what God has for them when they get here. The training will include a small lunch and will last about 45 minutes. I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving and an awesome week.
Man, thank you so much, Megan. Let's all stand together and continue our singing this morning. We sing songs to express the emotion of our hearts, to sing back to God what we're feeling and what's going on in our lives, and to hopefully kind of embed some thoughts into our head. Hopefully some of these songs get stuck in your head and you catch yourself singing them in the shower and in the car, you know, and you're, it's all because of Jesus. You're like, where did that come from? That makes for a great week, doesn't it? Let's continue with the saving one. Mercy was revealed with selflessness and peace. Faith was surely sealed till He rescued me. His pardon for my sin, His bounty for my need. From slavery and shame I am redeemed. Heaven contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is laid away, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. No fear can hold me down. The darkness still my joy. Blood has been poured out. The enemy destroyed. Death could not hold him down. The cross was not enough to steal away His love. For He is God. Heaven can contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is laid away, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. Upon His name, they will be saved. They will be saved. Anyone who calls upon His name, they will be saved. They will be saved. And heaven can't contain the glory of His Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made away, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. Heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made away, the grave is overcome. Jesus, we thank you for saving our souls, Lord. We thank you for being the one who saves. You're mighty to save, Lord. We thank you that no matter what our brokenness is, Lord, you can come in and transform us into something brand new, completely new in you. You forgive us of all of our faults and our failures and our mistakes, and you throw them behind your back because you paid for them. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that that we can have life in you. We pray this morning that you would be glorified, that you'd be lifted up, Lord, that our hearts would connect with your hearts in a special way, and you would communicate with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
change. The world is waiting for, we've got a love. The world is desperate for, we will lead and take to your streets. Now's the time for us to rise and carry hope. Let love shine and show this world that mercy is alive. Now's the time for us to rise and carry hope to hopeless eyes and show this world that mercy is alive. We're not afraid. We'll abandon all to hear your name. On lips across the world, we will run in the wake of your love. Now's the time for us to rise and carry hope. Let love shine and show this world mercy. Now's the time for us to rise and carry hope to hopeless eyes and show this world mercy is alive.
Please open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 14. There may be some in here this morning that don't realize how important this is, the Word of God. If you don't wake up in the morning with a desire to read the Word of God, to look into His Word for guidance in your life, you just don't quite understand the whole truth. This psalm this morning, it tells you the condition of your heart, the condition of everybody's heart, and we're all the same. I sum it up by saying this: as a man thinks in his heart, so does he. That's kind of what it says. There's none that does good, no, not one. Even your pastor, your pastor, my pastor, even every one of you, you don't do good. You may think you're doing some good things, but your heart is so evil, it just takes over. You need this every day. You need this to guide you, show you the right way. Thank God we have this so that we can come to it every day and let it guide us, show us the right way. Just think about that as we're reading this psalm, because it tells you the severity of the desperateness that we should have in our lives, to look to Him every day. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, and please help me on the even-numbered verses and on the last verse, if you will, please. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. And Father God, our nation needs to turn to you also, Lord. And what joy you would have if that would happen, Lord. But we seem to be on that slippery slope. But Lord, we do pray for our leaders in this country that someday they would learn to follow you, listen to you, and obey you. Lord, we just give them all into your hands, that your will would be done. Lord, also, we bring our other petitions to you this morning because you're the one that answers them. Heather's sister-in-law, Gail Patterson, had a hip surgery, and she fell after the surgery. And Lord, that makes for complications. Lord, we put her in your hands and ask that you heal her. Make her strong, Lord, that she might serve you. Lord, for our unsaved loved ones that don't know your Son, Jesus Christ, that need to know him as Savior, Lord, we put them also in your hands and ask you to bring them quickly to your Son, Jesus Christ, that they might become a part of your family also. Lord, for Sandy McCabe's family, Sandy lost her father, Albert Coldren. We ask the comfort in their lives. We ask you to replace his life in their hearts and in their lives with something meaningful, Lord, with memories, Lord, that can never fade away, with your Son, Jesus Christ, that is always there and always faithful. Lord, just use this loss in their lives to draw them closer to you. Lord, for little baby Serenity Autumn Rainier, Lord, it's only a little over a week old. We ask you to give her strength and continue to strengthen her that she might one day come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, and serve him. Lord, we give you the praise for Sue Parsons' surgery that went well this week. She had a knee replaced. Lord, we ask you to continue to heal her. Lord, also for Roger Markley that had successful carotid artery surgery. Lord, we ask you to also continue to heal him. And Lord, just work on our hearts as we listen to you, listen about you, listen to what the pastor has to tell us this morning from your word. Lord, just change our hearts and allow us to absorb some of it, Lord, some of it that you have for each one of us. That this every message is designed specifically for us, Lord, so allow us to be attentive and listen and hear from you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Please be seated.
All right, thank you, Steve. Man, do you feel alive this morning?
Yes.
Man, it's beautiful outside with beautiful weather that we're having here recently. I mean, this is awesome. This is the kind of weather I like. It's nice and warm and, man, this is good golf weather, amen? All you golf, no? Okay. right. Okay, a couple of things. Don't forget the Pie Fellowship. And Brother Steve had mentioned Sue Parsons and Sandy McCabe and Tone and Chris and the baby Serenity. So won't have to do that. So I do want to mention that Linda Everly's going in for some testing on Wednesday. So make sure you pray for her. She's getting a little bit better, but she still has some pain. So make sure you pray for her. And Roger is doing well. And they sent us a thank you note for all your prayers. Family, that's where it's at. When you pray for one another, you go before God. And that's what it's nice about being a Christian. Amen? That you can go to the throne room of God and put your petitions before Him. And, you know, He's a good God. Anybody ever have not answered prayers when you went to Him? Now, they may not have been answered in the ways that you wanted them to be answered, right? But they were answered one way or the other, and it was for your good. So, I thank God for that. Make sure that you come out on for the Pie Fellowship. Bring some pies out. Sign up and let us know how many pies we're gonna have. And I think it's going to be a great time. So make sure you do that and come out for that. Okay? All right. Well, I'm just excited to be here to worship God this morning, right before Thanksgiving. It's really hard to believe that. We just came out of, it was just summer yesterday, and now it's Thanksgiving. Man, that's crazy, isn't it? Wow. I think what happened is we didn't have like a real spring. We had, because it was hot in April and May. It was like in the 80s and 90s. And then so we've had this long, long summer. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's Thanksgiving. And then, you know, we're only like 6 weeks away from Christmas. And we're back into next year, 2013. Wow. That's incredible. It amazes me. You know, and the older I get, the faster it goes too. So you young ones, just make sure that you enjoy it now while it's slow. You know, even though it's drudgery through the school years and stuff like that, you don't want it to speed up. But anyway, we're going to look at Psalm 103 today. Psalm 103. And you know what? I want to talk to you a little bit about Thanksgiving, and this is a prayer of Thanksgiving that David is doing, and what is kind of awesome, and what I'm is that Thanksgiving is one of the only holidays that we have that's really been untainted. Really, I mean, it's not been until now, and I'll talk to you about that in a second, but really, when you think about it, Christmas, instead of celebrating the birth of Christ and saying Merry Christmas, it's Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays to you. And it's all about Santa Claus and all about getting good gifts and things like that. So that's been tainted, right? The secular world, Satan and everything else is trying to get in there and push Jesus out of it. And then Easter, it's all about the Easter Bunny and getting Easter eggs and Easter egg hunts and all that stuff. Now, I'm not saying there's like anything wrong with that, but you know what? We ought to be focusing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ on that time, right? Because it's because of Him that we get to live with Him for eternity. Isn't that awesome? You know, when I die, that is so awesome, because when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I know that I have a hope. There are a lot of people that don't have that hope. There are people out here that are not saved, that don't believe Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, that don't even care, that don't even believe in God. And when they die, they have no hope. So they walk through life thinking, this is it. What I get here is it. That's it. Man, no hope. This is nothing compared to what's waiting for me and waiting for you if you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's pretty awesome. But now, you know, we have this Thanksgiving holiday, and we're all thankful, all of us. Man, we can't wait. We're grateful for all the things that we have and this and that, you know, and our salvation and things. And then Black Friday hits. Watch out, because you went from being a Christian to get out of my way, dude. I'm going to smack you if you touch that thing. And you wait in lines for hours and hours and hours and stuff like that. It's like, Holy cow, weren't you just sitting in church yesterday? Weren't you just, that same mouth that you just swore at that person who cut you off, wasn't that the one that you were blessing God with yesterday? And that happens, and you know, it happens. Don't tell me it doesn't. But anyway, but even now our Thanksgiving holiday is being tainted. You know why? Because Walmart decided to open their doors on Thanksgiving. If I were you, I wouldn't visit them. Get your shopping done now. Don't be messing around on Thanksgiving Day going to any place. You know, let's keep that a sacred holiday anyway where we can thank God. Because what's going to happen is then there's nothing going to be sacred. There's not, I mean, next year instead of Black Friday, it's going to be Black Thursday or whatever, you know. We're going to start this up a little earlier, so just be careful with that. You know, just watch. I mean, you don't need to that special thing on Thursday. Wait until Friday. Show the stores that we don't need that. Now, they're probably going to be pretty crowded because they're going to let all these sales out and stuff like that. But just be careful with that because we want to keep this to God. Okay? All right, so we're going to look at Psalm 103 and what David has to talk about, all right? So let's read down through the first, actually 22 verses in Psalm 103. So follow along with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen. I'll tell you what, I just love that. Isn't that what our God is all about? You know, he just showers us. He loves us so much with his tender mercies. But we'll continue. Who satisfies the mouth with good things, so that thy mouth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Amen. He will not allow chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Amen on that one. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as flowers of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his commandments, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord and his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we are so thankful and grateful that you are a merciful God, that you are gracious, that you do forgive our transgressions, that you do forgive us, Father. We thank you so much. And God, we want to be a people that are thankful and gracious back to you, Father, for all that you have done for us. God, we just want to keep that in the forefront of our minds, even through this hectic time, this Christmas season and the Thanksgiving season. God, just keep that in the forefront of our minds. God, we love you and allow your word to have free will in our hearts this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, You probably remember a song by the Big Yellow Taxi. You probably don't. You're all younger than me, probably. There are a couple of that you probably remember this. It says, the line, the famous line says, "Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've had until it's gone?" Do you remember that? Raise your hand if you do. All right, there's a few of us, we're older, okay? Showing your age. I was just a babe when that song came out. But anyway, how true is that? That's pretty true, isn't it? You don't realize what you have until it's gone, and then all of a sudden it's gone, and it's like, holy smokes, man, do I miss that? Whatever it is, person or whatever it might be. I don't know what they were singing about at that time, but it says we tend to take things for granted that we have. For instance, when we go home today, all right, when I go home today, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get in my house, I'm going to flick on the lights, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to come on, right? Except for Wednesday night when we went back there and we took it for granted, didn't we? We flicked on the lights and they weren't on. And then we went chasing around, running around, trying to figure out, hey, where's the circuit breaker for these lights? But that's what happens. But I'm going to go home, and then after I flick on my lights, and I know it's there, and guess what? I'm going to go home to a nice warm house because I know the furnace is running right now. And I'm going to open the refrigerator, and there's going to be some leftover pizza. Amen. And leftover other stuff, too. Yeah, from Friday night we had pizza. And there's going to be some leftover stuff in there, and I know that there's going to be some good food. And it's going to be pretty nice. And then later on, before I go to bed, I'm going to take a nice hot shower, a nice hot tub, and I know that the hot water is going to be there. I'm not going to do a Haiti shower like you have never experienced unless you've done a Haiti shower. That's 3 drops of water every 2 minutes, and you try to wash your hair and you're all soaked up and it's like, how am I ever going to get this rinsed off of me? And it's terrible. But I think that's probably better now, isn't it? You think? Paul, is it better now? I mean, can we get a little bit better shower down there? Amen. That's good. But anyway, you get the idea, right? There's a given. I sometimes, like many of you, take things for granted like that. You know, take for granted that the lights are going to come on and all that other stuff. But if you have been watching the news lately about the Hurricane Sandy, and when it touched ground on New York City and New Jersey, guess what? There are houses destroyed. There are jobs that are no longer in existence because, you know, you can't go to work because you can't get gas. Lines and lines and lines of people waiting to get even a drop of gas. You know, there's nothing to be had there. I mean, it's pretty devastating. There's no electric switch, I mean, because there's no house. I mean, it's all gone. It's all gone. It's devastating. Family, most people didn't know what they had until it was gone. They didn't realize, those people in New York City, those people in New Jersey, especially on the coast there, they didn't realize what they had until it was gone. It was all gone. And on the other hand, there were people who knew what they had, and they were willing to help. On Craigslist, before the Sandy came through, gasoline was $3.75 a gallon. Craigslist offered the following: 5 gallons of gas for $75. And if you want it delivered, it's $90. 5 gallons of gas. We think we have it bad now. That's $15 a gallon. 5 gallon jugs of gasoline for $100. That's $20 a gallon. 10 gallons of gas for $300 and free delivery. Bless their hearts. Sometimes you don't know what you have until it's gone. You know, we can just drive down the street here and fill our tank up for $90 or $50 or whatever you have. If you have a truck, it's going to be a little bit more, $125, I think. But anyway, you get the idea. And so Psalm 103, David starts out praising God. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Don't forget his benefits, he says. If we forget the blessings he has given us, we can end up being ungrateful and taking what we have for granted. And that is so true. We can take what we have, what he has given us, for granted. Now, there was a woman in a grocery store. She got there before day before Thanksgiving, and she's looking at all the turkeys, and they're real small. And she goes up to the store clerk. She says, "I think it was probably Corey here over at Martin's." Probably not. But anyway, he says, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" She's mad. "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" And Corey says, "Ma'am, no, they're dead." No, those babies aren't going to get any bigger. They're dead, lady. That woman had more food in front of her than most third world countries could ever see. They really do. They have more food in a grocery store than any third world country. And yet she grew angry because what she saw wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. What she saw wasn't big enough. And she had every intention on letting Corey know about that. And she was unhappy. Right, Corey? Corey told me that story this morning. No, he didn't. I'm sorry for using you as an example, Corey. First time here, second time here, and I'm already abusing you. All right. You know, family, if you don't get into the habit of thanking God for what you have, you will become ungrateful because of what you don't have. You know, there was a guy, his name was Jan, back in 1988. He was a Polish railroad worker, okay? And he got hit by a train. And miraculously, he actually, you know, if I get hit by a train, man, holy cow. Can you imagine that, getting hit by a train? But this guy got hit by a train, all right? And he's barely survived. But he was in a coma for 19 years. And then he woke up 19 years later, okay? Poland was a communist country at the time when he got hit by the train. There were food lines, there were gas lines, there were everything back then. He wakes up and what's he see? He sees people walking around. It's a free country, there's food. Everybody's walking around with cell phones grumbling about what they don't have. Grumbling and complaining and all of that nonsense that happens. Wow. 19 years later, he awoke to a free nation. But something puzzled him. "What amazes me," he says, "is all these people who walk around with their mobile phones and yet they never stop moaning. These people had freedom and food and wealth and greater than Poland had ever seen in decades. And yet," Jan said, "he woke up from his coma to find all of that seemed to, everybody that seemed to want to just grumble." If you don't get into the habit of thanking God for what you do have, you will be ungrateful for what you don't have. So Psalm 103 says, get into the habit of being thankful now. Now. Do it now. Get into the habit for not forgetting what God has given you. So what kind of things has God given you? Tell me. What kind of things has God given you? What kind of things are you thankful for?
Salvation.
That's awesome. What else? Jobs, health.
Everything.
houses?
Friends.
It's cool. The Bible says we should give thanks for all things. The story is told of a Scottish preacher. He's always very positive. This guy is always positive. He's always saying something positive. Well, there was one guy that came into the service on Sunday morning before the preacher was gonna pray and give his message, and it was nasty outside. I mean, it was like hurricane weather, snow, everything was going on. And the guy thought, well, what? The preacher's not gonna have anything nice to say about today or be thankful for today, is he? So he sits there, and the preacher gets up there, and he says, "We thank thee, O God, that it is not always like this." Amen? There's always something to be thankful about. You know, when you're hurting and you're unemployed and you don't have enough money or food or whatever it is, you can always give thanks for and just say, "Hey, God, thank you that it's not always going to be like this." And that's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. So the Bible says we should be thankful for all things. So what are we thankful for and the kind of things? Well, we're usually, and I like your responses, because your responses was like salvation and friendships and things like that. And you know, most people would say, I'm thankful for the tangible things in my life, like family and home and job and church family and whatever. But as I looked through Psalm 103, I noticed that David wasn't thankful for those kinds of things, or the things that I or you might be thankful for. No, the entire psalm, David never speaks of tangible things. He never speaks of it. But what he does give thanks for is he praised God for forgiving all his sins, for healing his diseases, redeeming his life from the pit, crowned him with love and compassion, and satisfied with good things so that his youth was renewed like the eagles. So the question is, why did David focus on these things? It's because he couldn't lose those things. You can't lose your salvation. You can't lose the fact that he has redeemed us. Those things no one can take away from us. The world can't take away from us. We can lose loved ones. We can lose our home. We can lose a church family or a church. But we can't lose the things David wrote about in Psalm 103. Jesus said that the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Take a look at verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, it says, and Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Wow. David is telling us in Psalm 103 that his treasures are laid up in heaven, that they're not about the things of this world. What kind of treasures is David talking about? David says his greatest treasure is that God loves him and has compassion upon him. That's the one foundational truth that makes all the difference for him. Now, David acknowledges that neither he nor any of the rest of us are worthy of God's love. Take a look at verse 15 and 16 of Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 15, it says, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it is it's no more. Now, we are not all that impressive. We're very fragile, and God knows that. God knows that we are very fragile. He says, David says, we're like grass and the wind blows and we're gone. But take a look at verse 13 and through 14. It says in the same chapter, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God knows how we were formed. God knows that we were formed from the dust. But we were formed, family, in his image and in his likeness. Amen? Amen. We're not just dust. We are of him. We are his pride and joy, his creation. The Bible tells us that you and I are special creations by God. Yes, we are fragile and we are easily forgotten by this world, but God will never, ever forget us. Take a look at verse 4 and 5. It says, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. As we read through the Bible, we see the stories of men and women who spend the time in the pits. We saw Jeremiah, who was thrown in a literal pit where he sank up to his muck up to his armpits. We see Daniel, who was thrown in a lion's den. We see Joseph, who was thrown in a pit by his brothers. They were going to kill him, but instead they sold him to slavery. Those were literal pits that God had rescued these people from. But there are other pits that weren't so literal, but were equally depressing. David spent several years running from Saul. Moses spent 40 years in exile from Egypt. Ruth spent a number of years in poverty. And each and every story about these heroes and heroines of faith told of how God reached down into that hole that they were in and found them and lifted them out and pulled them up and out of the pit and the places of that put them on solid ground. And David says, what God did for those people, he will do for you and me. Several years back, someone conducted a survey of people who prayed and found that 95% of these people felt God had answered their prayers. 95% of those who prayed believed that God had reached down into their pit and pulled them out. That's huge. David knew that God loved him that much. And so can we. We could know that God loves us that much, that he will reach down into whatever we're suffering with, whatever is bothering us, whatever we're doing, and he's going to pick us up and put us on solid ground. And that solid rock is Jesus Christ. Amen? He loves us. That's why, you know, David wrote another psalm, and I want you to just go back to this psalm, Psalm 23. Most of you can even recite it without even looking at it, but take a look at Psalm 23, and I just want to read that this morning again. David felt so strongly about God's love. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Though thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. We know just like David, did that God loves us and cares for us. And we know that as we walk with God, He will lead us. He will restore us. He will protect us. We know God meets our physical needs on earth. But like David, we know that that's not enough. Jesus Christ said in Mark 8:36, He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" You can be healthy, wealthy, and wise and still go to hell. Unless our sins are dealt with, we'll be cut off from God. And unless our sins are forgiven, we will never know the blessings of living eternally in heaven. And so David tells us, yes, God is willing to take care of that too. He forgives all your sins. Verse 3, it says, "Who forgiveth all." He doesn't say some or just a few of them. He says, "He forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And then go down to verse 10. He says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." And that's what He should have done, right? We deserved not to be treated as God treats us. We deserve our punishment. But He says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewards us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." As far as the east is from the west. Do you know how far that is? Let's take a trip this morning. Let's go in and get in the bus, our new bus. We'll all fit in there. We'll try to fit you in there. We've gotten more people in a Volkswagen. Did you ever try and get like 11 people in a Volkswagen? Where's my wife? She did that when she was driving her, don't tell her, when she was driving her little green Volkswagen that belonged to her mother. They came up to the shopping center when we were kids, teenagers, and we all got in that. I think there were 11 of us. But that's another story. This is our bus. We all get in it, okay? And we take a trip. Let's take a trip up north. All right, so we're going up north, and we're driving the bus, and we're all singing, you know, "Here the wheels on the bus go round and round," and all that, and we're driving, have a good time. We stop for a little coffee break and things, and then we keep going, and we make it up through Canada, and we make it up to the Arctic Circle. Can we go any further north than that? No, what happens if we keep traveling? We're going to end up going south, right? Okay. But what if we decide to take a trip east? And we jump, we try to drive over to as far as we can get until we run out of gas in New Jersey. And then we jump on a plane and fly. And we keep going east. When do we stop going east? Never. God says that He has thrown your sin away as far as the east is from the west. He didn't say that He was going to throw our sins and iniquities away as far as north is from the south, because that wouldn't be very far, would it? And that would mean that He would not forgive us eternally. But He's saying, you know what? I forgive you of all your iniquities and all of your sin as far as the east is from the west for eternity. That is pretty awesome. He won't stop. He won't stop wanting to forgive us. God loves us and cares for us so much that He will never reach the point of where He stops loving us. When He forgives us so much that He's not only willing to meet our physical needs, but He's willing to meet our spiritual needs. And He's given His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall have everlasting life, shall never perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise that I can handle. Amen? Family, I'm here to tell you this morning that we have a lot to be thankful for. We really do. Man, we have a God who has given us hope and will never, ever let up on us. You can't lose your salvation. He will love you forever. As dirty rotten as we can be sometimes. But he will love us. And folks, and those are the ones that are not in the family this morning, that don't have the assurance of the love that they want to have, and the love that the opportunity to have God's love. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to pray a simple prayer and invite Jesus Christ in your heart so that you will know for sure. And you will have that love, that never-ending love, that never-ending forgiveness. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to pray a prayer of salvation, to invite Jesus Christ into your hearts. And as we go this morning, I don't want you, the family members, to forget this. Make sure that this Thanksgiving, that you're thankful, not only for the physical things, but for the things that he has given us that no one on earth can take away from us. Be thankful for that. And then when Black Friday comes around, and there's only one more thing that's on the shelf, and you go to reach it and somebody snags it, show grace. Show grace. God has shown me grace and mercy upon me. I'm going to show and extend you grace. Nobody can take that from you. So would you all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed? I'm going to pray a prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask you, if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart before, today is the day. Today is the day. Don't walk out this door without praying this prayer and inviting Jesus Christ, and then allow him to work in your heart, to change your heart. The prayer goes like this, and if you want to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you pray this with me. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Anybody pray that this morning? Raise your hand. Anybody pray that? Anybody pray that this morning? Raise your hand. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for all the things that we can be grateful to you for. But above all, it's for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave up everything so that we might have everlasting life, so that we may have life and have it more abundantly, so that we might have a hope. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And as the ushers come forward, the study that we just ended, the attitudes, one of them was having a thankful attitude. And that was such a great, great lesson. And it's just so wonderful that I thank the Lord so much for what he did on the cross, that we can be forgiven, and that he is slow to anger, and that he is abundant in forgiveness and compassion. And to thank him every day for the good times and the trials, because in each of those times he's teaching us. And I like what Steve said at the beginning, because I do that every day. I get up and I'm in the Word of God to seek his direction, and it's such an incredible place to be. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come before you with a thankful heart, a thankful attitude for dear Jesus, what you did on that cross, out of that unconditional love that you have for us, that our sins can be forgiven. and that if we draw closer to you, that you will be there for us. And as always, Lord, please go before us and fight our battles. And we thank you so much for your love and compassion. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together.
We are the change the world is waiting for. We've got a love the world is desperate for. We will leave and take to your street. Now's the time for us to rise and carry hope and let love shine and show this world that mercy is life. Now's the time for us to rise and carry hope to hopeless eyes and show this world that mercy is life. Time for us to rise, carry.